glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 2nd, 2018. Happy July, Marianne.
Thank you. Happy July and happy coming up Independence Day.
Yes, the 4th of July is just around the corner, a couple days away. And happy July, Rob, our copy editor, my good friend, fellow pilgrim, let's see, former singing man of GNN, but once a singing man, always a singing man. You and your wife, Mary, supporters of the station. Content contributor. A lot of content to our prime life times. And he happened to just be walking in as Marianne and I are doing this morning program. So he said, Rob, come on in here. Let's honor you over the air.
That's the danger of walking in on you, Mark.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hey, you're on the radio.
Two things happen when you walk in on me. You either get volunteered to do something for
great,
me or
volunteered.
The station.
How do you volunteer someone?
Because
I
persuade
them.
I kind of impose my will on them.
Hey, you're getting to be a volunteer today.
Yes. Look at this opportunity God's laying out for you, and you just happen to come when I need your help. So just jump right in. So, Rob, thank you. And
Hi, Rob.
I know Marianne and I have talked about you on various occasions, just some of your contents. And
my ears have been burning.
Uh-huh. But you have contributed a number of articles. In fact, Marianne and I were just talking. Our minimal show prep was like, well, what do you want to read? And I just said, surprise me, Marianne. She said, well, this first one is outstanding, but it would take about three programs to read. And that's because, Rob, you had so much to share about the state of Illinois. Yeah, the state, double entendre here. The state of Illinois and the state of Illinois. But you were saying, Marianne, that this is kind of like a history lesson
or a
thumbnail overview of something.
Kind of a snapshot history lesson.
Know about Illinois. How many thousand words? Usually we request our content contributor like 300, maybe 500, 700 cap is like the max.
Yeah.
And this was like 4,000.
We chopped it down. Well, Rob knows a lot about the history.
Yeah. So. Oh, and there is so much to tell, right, Rob?
Yes, there is.
So how difficult was it to try to take all that information and put it into something that would be engaging, informative, positive, helpful, and yet not be too much where people just get lost in it?
Well, the difficulty was cutting it down, and I cut down quite a bit, and then Marianne took out a little hatchet. And
Marianne the slasher?
She has to do that a lot, and she did a great job with that, and she even pulled some things out.
I've already gotten reviews that it's very well done, helpful, interesting.
Great.
Good.
So I know you put a lot of effort and energy, and I think there's a number of other things. In fact, I was reading one of the stories or articles, and I was thinking, that must be Rob. Because there was no name or no picture.
Yeah.
I can't remember what page that was on. But okay, so Marianne, I said, what would you like to read or introduce our listeners to today? Because this is hot off the presses, a few days removed now. We got them this past Friday and getting them distributed throughout the area, almost 200 locations. And so very pleased with this. It's 32 pages.
It's the
most we've ever had.
I know.
And in fact, it's twice the size when we began this 8 months ago.
Wow.
So we started at 16 pages. This is 32 pages, so Section B is 16 pages, Section A, 16 pages.
Blue Ribbon Week.
Woohoo!
Well, there's a lot of interesting articles in here, I think. The World War II B-24 bomber that was found in the South Pacific, the Lieutenant Kelly, I think it is, in the picture, his maybe nephew, grandnephew, something like that, is a professor at the University of Illinois and was very involved in all this. So that's quite an article.
That's a fantastic picture, all these guys in their flight suits, a couple bombers behind them, and it's World War II B-24 bomber found in South Pacific 7 decades later.
They said something, and I know this is July 4th week, but at the end of that article, and it's amazing that these guys were found, and that's so wonderful. It says, though, that more than 70,000 U.S. service members from World War II remain unaccounted for.
Wow.
Makes you think. And then this is an article that's interesting. We won't read
it
today.
Tell me a page.
A7.
Rob
knows the man, I think, who submitted this. And it talks about how drowning doesn't look like drowning. And it's very informative, really important article, I think.
Yeah, this guy has been a rescue diver for the Navy and for the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And he's written all kinds of stuff. And he says this might just be the best thing he ever wrote. So he's giving it free to the public.
Hmm. Wow.
And I think it's a very important article.
I do
too.
They
show a picture of a lifeguard looking over the ocean or the big lake that's here. And it says, drowning is almost always a deceptively quiet event.
Yeah. I think at some point we should read this because it's like, I was taken back. I did not know these facts. So, yeah, and then there's some more neat stuff about Illinois and
Great photos, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this center spread, A8 and A9, where it has all sorts of pictures and some back to 1893. And look at that cell phone in that guy's hand. That's like out of the 70s.
Yeah, that was invented in Illinois. I know. Isn't that something? There's lots of interesting things in there. And American flag etiquette, that's interesting. The bald eagle, I love that article. And then
that's under our amazing animals topic series.
Yeah. Oh, here's something interesting. Illinois in World War II. It's got a picture of a little boy buying V8 juice with a ration book.
Now, what page is this on?
A14.
Yeah, and that's misleading because you don't buy with a ration book.
Oh.
You have to present the ration book.
Okay.
And then you pay, and they stamp the ration book, and so you can't buy it again. You can buy only so much of this, this, or this.
Well, you two can buy all the V8 you want.
Oh, okay. I like V8 juice.
Oh.
I do.
My system wouldn't know how to react to that many vegetables at once.
Well, you have been eating vegetables, Mark.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks to you.
Let's just turn to that article.
Yeah, that's,
You have been eating vegetables.
I have a lot, especially because Marianne picked up at Yoder's their poppy seed dressing.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I wanted to buy it, and one of the clerks said, no, I don't think we sell it. And Marianne shows up with, I don't know, what was that, like a quart?
It was a pint.
Big container, a pint.
And that's a lot of dressing.
And that's a lot of dipping my little carrot sticks into. And I've done this for about a week, and it's still like three quarters filled. Yeah. So.
See, now that's why you could stay out to the tower, to the radio tower, till nearly midnight working, is because you had all those carrots
that's
and
right.
vegetables.
And that poppy seed got me on a roll.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tasty.
Yeah,
we do feature under our Delicious Destination series, Yoder's Kitchen. We appreciate Anna. We had our event there last month.
We did.
And
we
so did. That was great. Under the Prime Life Poets, the Retirement Not Retreat, I posted that on that sign out in Lincoln Square here.
Oh,
so
great.
You'll see I cut out articles and taped them up there. So big sign in the middle of the mall has about 10 of our pages and the poetry is there.
You know that gentleman, don't
you? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a remarkable guy. He's a retired farmer.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that our operations manager, Bob, knows him, too.
Oh, Bob Dickey. Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people know Ralph. He was a friend of my dad's as well.
Oh,
Ralph
Butzo.
Butzo.
Yeah, and it's a local name here, too.
Butzow.
Yeah, that's a North German name.
Oh, I so like the name of his compilation of his poetry.
Yeah.
Some Poems by Ralph. I love
that's
it.
That's great, isn't it?
yeah, that's nice.
Wow, keep turning these pages. Just so much content. If you have not picked up your edition of the Prime Life Times, this is the edition that you need to get into your hands. It's a lot of information about Illinois, our bicentennial year, 1818 and 2018. A lot of great content and contributors. I always like the rural memories and then the jokes. What's that one, if you don't live north of, what's the 37?
East of 39.
East of 39. That one I also posted out here at Lincoln Square.
It's on B7, yeah.
Will it play in Peoria?
I love
that. Was
that
one of yours, Rob?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, there wasn't.
Secretly, it was mine.
Well,
I came up with an idea, but
that's
Rob
correct.
Wrote it.
Okay.
How fun is that? I come up with an idea. Rob, write this. Rob, write that.
Hey, that's usually what I do to everyone. Hey, I need help. Do this.
Right.
Do that.
Oh, that's the whole volunteering thing you got going on.
Yeah.
You're learning.
We'll skip that.
Well, I think that this picture by the Wordsmiths Workshop that Rob does that column every single month. But this picture is of the flag that flew over Fort McHenry in 1814?
1873.
Photographed in 1873.
I'm sorry, you're correct.
In the Boston Navy Yard by George Henry Preble. Wow.
It's humongous. They show an individual standing near it, a guard, right? Two stripes are about 6 feet. So each stripe is almost 3 feet wide. So you can imagine. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 12,
there should be
18.
13, Mark.
No, I was just counting how many feet. So if it's 6 feet, okay.
Three times 13, 39 feet tall.
Are there dimensions listed?
Well,
oh, there it is.
There are.
Oh, 30 times 42.
Oh, in the article. You knew that, though, Rob. Okay, so since it's July 4th week, I think we should have Rob read this article.
Welcome to the morning program,
yes,
Rob.
Yes.
Okay, before I read it, I should tell you that it's possible that that flag did not fly during the battle because it was so enormous. If it even rained, they had to take it down immediately because it could break the flagpole. It would weigh that much.
Wow.
And these flags were hand-sewn, not by Betsy Ross, but you'll learn by whom in a moment. So there was a smaller garrison flag that might have flown through that night. A look at some language of liberty. The Star Spangled Banner.
By Rob Schiedenberg. Our very
start
own.
Over my
wordsmith.
Prepare workshop. For interruption.
And digression.
I'm so used to those interruptions. Okay. This is the column, the monthly column called Wordsmith's Workshop by Rob Schiedenberg.
B10.
And the title.
Did you know we have a B section, everyone? Okay. No more interruptions.
I love it. Okay.
I look at some language of liberty. Notice the thing is littered with alliteration, right?
Yes, it is.
The Star-Spangled Banner, originally called the Great Garrison Flag, flew over Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor during the Naval Battle of Baltimore in the War of 1812. Mary Pickersgill, 1776 to 1857, had fulfilled a contract with Major Armistead, garrison commander, to sew two flags for Fort McHenry. The large one that would come to be known as a Star-Spangled Banner was a 30 by 42 foot garrison flag. The other, a 17 by 25 foot storm flag for rough weather. Armistead's family owned that garrison flag until they donated it to the Smithsonian Institution in 1912. The word spangled means sprinkled, as if someone had liberally sprinkled stars on this banner, this flag, for which, through the years, so many would die, but which would also offer freedom and hope to so many around this world. Gradually, the term Star-Spangled Banner came to refer to any American flag. The word garrison refers to a permanent military post. We perhaps glibly mouth some words to familiar patriotic formulas without closely examining what we're saying. The song, A Star-Spangled Banner, penned by Francis Scott Key on board an American sloop, after negotiating the release of a fellow lawyer on board a British man of war, a large gunship, celebrates the historic battle for Fort McHenry and our flag. During the overnight battle, Key couldn't always see the flag, but when he could, he was heartened and encouraged. By the next morning's dawn's early light, following an all-night naval bombardment of the fort, Key again saw the banner he had hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. The banner he had greeted before the last light of the evening faded was still flying over the fort, showing that it was still in American hands. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. Perilous, of course, means dangerous. Every military battle is dangerous because humans are trying to kill each other. The ramparts were the fort's protective walls of earth and stone, and streaming meant blowing in the wind, but not only blowing, streaming gallantly, splendidly, with self-sacrifice, spiritedly, bravely. Key said all that in one word, gallantly, a now-neglected word we used for over a century to describe how our brave fighting soldiers behaved under fire. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Hey, this should be part of a song.
Sorry.
These were Congreve rockets. Both the British and the Americans used them in that defining war of 1812. They were much improved over those used earlier against Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. At least they could be aimed a bit, and they were much less likely to return to cinder. Given our history, in which the blood of patriots has from time to time refreshed the tree of liberty, as Thomas Jefferson foresaw, maybe it's not so trite after all to say that our country is the land of the free because it's the home of the brave.
Oh, wow. That's really good, Rob.
Thank you, Mary. Very good.
Congreve rockets. Okay.
Yeah, the ones used against Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo often just turned around and went back and blew up.
Good gracious.
And Congreve himself was out there experimenting with them.
Oh, my.
Hey, and this on board an American slope?
Sloop.
Sloop.
It's a ship. Or
a sloop is a very fast sailing ship. Okay. It was a warship. It wasn't super heavily armed. It couldn't be. because it was fairly small, fairly narrow, but it was a fast ship. Hmm. And the tradition says that he was held on the British ship, but he wasn't. And I uncovered a lot of things that were wrong about what I was taught in high school. Sorry.
As were we all.
But it's all corrected in this writing, which you can pick up in this edition, the July edition of the Prime Life Times. Almost 200 area locations in our 7-county region.
We're growing.
Certainly come by the station here at Lincoln Square. I think we have 5 or 6 different stands. I forgot there was one down that one hallway near Common Ground.
Oh, yeah. So, co-op, yeah.
Yeah, you can pick up your copy. Take some to your small group or hand them out to your neighbors. We love getting this into people's hands. It's a great publication. It's informative, engaging, positive. And you can also read it online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. And there are a number of you that subscribe to it, so we mail it out always as soon as we get them in.
Yeah.
So if you want to receive it, we just ask that you pay for the postage costs. So it's free, but it costs about $25 to mail it for a whole year.
Yeah.
So if you would like to receive it to some kind of mailbox, is that your pacemaker going off? Are we going to have to call like 911? call the station at 217-367-7777-217. 367-7777. $25 cost to get it sent to your mailbox for 1 year. So we'd love to do that.
So I have a question, Rob. I just ask Rob questions all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to ask a question, Mark.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Rob would jump all over that one.
It's another one of the Mark jokes. Every time you say anything, Mark, question mark, on the mark,
yeah.
On the mark, get ready, anything, he points it out. This word, gallantly, I love that word. So what is the difference between gallant and gallant? I heard somebody say gallant.
Yeah, first of all, gallant could be a noun. They're both taken from French, and gallant is closer to the French pronunciation.
Oh.
So a gallant is a person who
is gallant.
Yeah, who behaves gallantly. But it could also have the implication that he's dressed a little bit fancily and so on.
Hey, I want you to say this word again.
Which one is that?
Okay, so this sentence under Napoleon, the last sentence of the paragraph before the given our history, start with at least they could be aimed at. Read that again.
At least they could be aimed a bit, and they were much less likely to return to sender.
Oh, sender. Before, I didn't think you said sender. I thought you said sunder.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, sunder.
Well, that makes me think of two things.
So when I re-listen to this in the evening, I'm going to see if you said sunder the first time.
Well, how clever of you. Okay. Return to Sender, that's an old song. Who was that, the Beatles? Or, no, that's Elvis. Who was that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
Return to Sender. Address unknown.
Yeah, no such number, no such phone.
Yeah, that's
right. Well, we have Rob in here in the studio, so he can't call and correct us. So we either need Roger Weisgarver or
Huey, somebody.
Help us.
We need Huey.
We should have someone at all times sitting by to correct.
Hey, do you have any good jokes in this one? We only have about three or four more minutes.
Okay. Let me find them. We got John Philip Sousa.
That 50s throwback on the backside of B-16 is always a fun one. Yeah. The Rockin' National Anthem.
Yeah, that's really... He has such interesting stuff.
Yeah, he's a good writer. So.
Okay, what page are you on? I want to see these.
Oh, it's in your favorite section, the B section.
Okay, B-7.
Okay. Laughing Matters.
All right.
Okay, I'm laughing at my own jokes even if nobody else does. Okay, I'm going to read two and then you guys can read the rest. Okay, I'm going to read by Anonymous... My bed is a magical place where I suddenly remember everything I forgot to do.
Yeah, how many of us lay awake night thinking about, I got to write that down. That's why they say it's important to have a pen and pencil near your bed so you can write down those thoughts so that way you don't keep thinking about them or be consumed by them, and then you remember them.
Yeah, I get up in the middle of the night and write them down. It's still, I'm awake.
Thomas Edison had such great thoughts and ideas when he was falling asleep and waking up that he would intentionally fall asleep in a chair. He did this all day and all night. They called it cat nest, but he would sit there and fall asleep, and whatever he had in his hand would fall, and that would wake him up, and then he'd hopefully have a great insight on something like inventing another kind of light bulb or something.
That's neat. Sounds complicated, but neat.
I think it's wrong that only one company makes the game Monopoly. Stephen Alexander Wright submitted that.
Okay, you got one, Rob. What's yours?
Have no fear of perfection. You'll never reach it. Salvador Dali.
That's a good one.
Be careful about reading health books. you might die of a misprint. Mark Twain. And you found that somewhere, Marianne?
Yeah.
You just looked that one up?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Okay.
I looked through a lot of quotes by Mark Twain. I think they're funny.
I hate when people ask me what I'm doing tomorrow. I don't even know what I'm doing today. Anonymous.
Can we get a testimony?
So anyone who wants to send in jokes, please, please do. So far, Ruth Esri has sent in really good ones.
Great.
We've used them. Yeah.
Jokes or poetry.
Yes.
We'd love to get
poetry.
More poetry. Yeah.
There are poets all over this part of Illinois.
Yeah.
I met many. They're just shy. So if you have some good poetry, please, please submit it.
Well, you know, people feel like they're kind of putting themselves out there a little bit for other people to go, wait, I don't know if I like that so much or not. But look, the bravery of putting yourself out and that you wrote it, it, you know.
Okay, the bravery. I got a joke. This is one of Esther, my
favorite. About being brave?
No, this is being brave to share this over the air.
Oh, dear.
You know who Snow White's brother is?
I'm thinking.
White. Get the yolk.
When do we laugh? Yeah. Oh, Rob, he's laughing.
Yeah.
Mark's doing all the laughing.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's
Esther. That's really cute, Mark.
That's a daddy-daughter joke.
Well, it is, really.
She likes
it's exactly
one.
A daddy-daughter joke.
Yeah.
You got some other
Should
ones?
Should have stayed with daddy-daughter.
I kind of like it, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh,
yeah.
Like we said, send in jokes.
Please.
Yeah.
Send them in good jokes. All right.
That one's not going to make its way in.
This is the July edition of the Prime Life Times, available free of charge because of all these great sponsors and supporters of this paper. We couldn't provide them free for the thousands of people that read it if it wasn't for those that take the time to promote their service or their item or their retirement home or whatever they're trying to sell or raise awareness of. And so please, when you look at the paper and you need maybe some of these services, call those advertisers and thank them for helping sponsor
this
paper.
That's a great idea.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you, Rob. I guess you got to stay around for the whole program. I know you're out and about doing many things, helping various causes and serving in a variety of ways.
Heading out to reunion or something.
That's right.
And also on Thursdays, I didn't mention that, he teaches the advanced course in our conversational English class with reading and writing, and you assign homework. And I don't want to be in that class. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you and have a great day and night.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us pledge to the land that's free.